This week on your Old School RuneScape update, we have Varlamor tweaks featuring changes to Colosseum randomness and Hunter, which includes Falconry and Irantar. Also, Colosseum and Moons drop rates are revealed. We then discuss rebalancing defense with the impact it has on magic and dreaded power creep. This is the Old School RuneScape Update, Episode 22, recorded Saturday, April 6th, 2024, Defending Combat. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of the Old School RuneScape Update. Sirion and myself are here this week, and of course, we don't have that heavy of a RuneScape news week, but we got some fun stuff to talk about regarding Project Rebalance, as well as some of the drop rates and various tweaks as we head into 2.5 weeks, approaching 3 weeks of Varlamor. You had an interesting week?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Any fun stuff you want to tease for later on in the show?
My wallet is crying.
Real life or in game?
In game.
Okay. All right. We'll get to what that was. I was going to be a little bit worried if you were going to say real life there. But
yeah, sorry. I've been Christmas crackers, man. I've been hitting the bonds really hard, and then just yeah.
Oh, yeah. So it was you probably that I sold some of those Christmas crackers to.
Oh, absolutely, yes, yeah.
No, we don't condone gambling here, folks. But neither of us do that. We're both fairly honest and ethical. At least I claim to be. He is for sure, but nonetheless, if you want to follow along, full show notes can be found over at update.show/OS. We also have a friends chat in-game, which you can find at BitsBytes, and of course, the Discord is over at update.show/Discord. You can find me in-game at Shane12088, and Sirion is spelt with a C, not the way the Apple assistant likes to spell its name and activate whenever I say your name. But Varlamor,
I was
tweaks
around earlier. I was around earlier, yes, than Siri.
Yes,
so,
and you're a lot more useful than Siri.
Little fun anecdote. The first RuneFest I ever went to, someone came up to me, like an older couple, came up to me. I was like, why didn't you name your RuneScape account, because we're wearing these Clan Quest t-shirts with our names on it, after a pharmaceutical brand? I'm like, I'm looking at them. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know any pharmaceutical brand. It turned out it was something like Siren and not Sirion, right? Like, they had missed one of the letters. But still, that was hilarious. I didn't name my name after anything. I just think it sounds cool. But yeah, no, that's just a random interaction I had at RuneFest. Yeah, why do you call your RuneScape account after pharmaceutical?
Let's just end the show here. That's enough for this week.
Story time with Sirion. Yeah.
Oh boy. Okay. We also got drop rates for Perilous Moons and the Colosseum. In the Colosseum, interestingly enough, with this, when we look at these, I feel like these were kind of what we were anticipating here. In that, if you go go ahead.
Didn't see any major surprises.
No. Like, all the way to Wave 11, it's 1 in 28 for a unique. But if you make it to Wave 6, that's only 1 in 108. So it really shows what you have to do to start getting a real chance at getting the good stuff in the Colosseum. And then the breakdown between each of the uniques is the Echo Crystal, of course, being the most common at 6 out of 10. The Sunfire Armor Pieces, 3 out of 10. And the Tonal Zix of Rallo's 1 in 10. And of course, everybody's pet that they're chasing is 1 in 200. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but you can. You can. So, like, the cool thing, right, is that the quiver is guaranteed. That's basically the fire cape.
Yeah.
Of, yeah. And the further versions you can, I mean, you can get Sunfire shards back for that. Which,
yeah, you can trade it in.
That's interesting. Like, I'm curious what that's going to do with the market. Because Sunfire shards, or Sunfire splinters, I should say, they're still pretty expensive. All in all, and this might bring them down a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. Because I know that they had to tweak the runecrafting XP in the first week on that. So,
yeah.
You know, looking at the sources of shards is the other side of that equation. So that makes sense.
And, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's going to be people who are going to be running through the Colosseum numerous times. So, you know, why stack quivers when you might as well trade them for something else, right?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea for the splinters, and you can always sacrifice it for a pet roll, which, you know, that's interesting. It essentially doubles your chance, right? So it's now 1 in 100 for the pet, because you get 2 1 in 200 rolls. I mean, not quite, but...
Do you like that kind of gambling? Would you gamble 1 in 100 away for something like that? Or would
I
you
don't
leave
know.
It at 1 and 2?
If I were not really... Like, that's the thing. It depends on what state your account is in, right?
Yeah, like
you
if you're
gamble
endgame,
away your
it's
first
not.
River.
It
but,
matter.
Like,
no.
If money is not the thing you're after anyway, then, yes, I would gamble it away.
Yeah.
I would definitely gamble it away.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
And I think this is the kind of, you know... This system works well, I think... It makes sure that once you have gotten everything else out of
there's a reason to keep doing the encounter. Yeah.
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 Like it's a little bit silly to you know, yeah, stack up on things you don't need, and I like it.
Yeah. Moon pieces, 1 in 56, after defeating each of the moons to receive a piece of the respective moon gear. I feel like that's a good, healthy rate for where that's positioned.
Yeah. So if you kill all bosses, you get like another 1 in 56. So if you do all three of them, you get like a total of 1 in 14. And from what I could tell, that's about on par of Barrow's pieces.
Okay.
And what I really like about this particular boss is that. They basically made it so that you don't get duplicates as often, right? Like, it tries to give you all of the outfit pieces before sort of giving you duplicates.
Yeah.
Which makes this content way more iron-friendly, I feel. Like, that's the problem with Barrows,
and even if
right?
you're just
like,
hunting a drop log in general, getting duplicates is really annoying.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it takes a little bit of the luck out, right? Like, some of the pieces are way more expensive than others, but, you know, overall, it averages out. And, yeah, I think it's a good move. I approve of it.
Yeah, and I think the thing that I walked away from with this, just seeing how comfortable the drop rates are on this, and it really, you know, cements it in, is that mid-tier bossing content that, you know, you're going to struggle for it if you're fresh to it, kind of like I was on the first run. But after you upgrade your gear and after you understand the mechanics and whatnot, it's going to be something that you're able to rinse and repeat. And when you factor all this together with a 1 in 14 drop rate, it just makes it a really comfortable place mm-hmm. to be, and, you know, a fun place to start out your PVM adventures with. We also had some changes this week with the Colosseum modifiers, and interestingly enough, that wasn't actually part of the initial news post this week.
Well, because it's not changes, right? Like, these are intended to change. So the problem here with the modifier, so the Colosseum is sort of set up as more of a roguelike, where after every wave you need to choose basically one of these modifiers. And some people thought that particular modifiers were basically run enders. And that's why they're trying to sort of equalize them a little bit. So Doom, Doom Scorpion were considered really bad. And yeah, that's basically what they're changing here. It looks like they're largely making them easier to cope with rather than harder. The question is whether that's desirable. I mean, there's clearly people who are having success finishing the Colosseum repeatedly. I mean, I saw the boss pet just running around earlier today. So, you know, clearly it's not broken. And I think we need to be careful that, you know, as the game progresses, people will find better strategies, will get better at it. And there's like a...
You get better armor and weapons,
small
too.
Bit of, yeah, like there's a small bit of power creep that will make the content easier. So I think Jarex needs to be really careful trying to make this content easier, because, yeah, like, I think all in all, there's a lot of people complaining because Jagex compared this content to the fight caves to the point where if you can finish the fight caves, you can finish this, which is harder.
That's a little bit off.
Right? I don't remember where Jagex communicated this way, so I think it's just like a miss...
I honestly think that was, you know, I think if I read the communications right, the way I interpreted it was that it was going to be fight cave-like in the sense that it was wave-based. I don't think there's anything there that should have been read into it about the difficulty.
Exactly. I think that's
like
just,
it's not,
you know,
Inferno level, but it's definitely more than the fight caves.
Yeah, no, it's like, I mean, maybe wishful thinking is not the right word, right? But I think we've seen other instances where a group of people, basically they all have share sort of the same prediction and then almost make that be the truth. And I think something like that might have happened here. But who knows? It's still something for Jagex to learn from.
Right.
Overall, I think the content sits in a comfortable space.
Right. And see that's why I think it's communication as well, because this is something that, you know, was clarified at the top of the news post. That's case number one of it being a communication issue. But case number two, as well with that, is that you have people completing the Colosseum left, right, and center. So because of that, it's not something that was, you know, hideously out of scope for the target audience of that. It was just, in effect, a miscommunication on where it was going to land difficulty-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think you see that communication on there in terms of how... they basically had to come out with this post and just be very clear about what each of the modifiers are doing and how they're changing when they're changing. And because of that, that kind of leans into that, and we tie it all back together. It just comes back to communication. So, continuing on from that, do you want to talk about some of the moon changes? Because I haven't gone back yet. Have you gone back to fight the moons?
Not recently. I have done so before last week. I haven't done it this week. One of the changes that stood out to me, so those familiar with how the Eclipse Moon works, there's the Mirage phase where it basically teleports around. You need to click it to parry it. Love the mechanic. Always really love the... always love the damage you can do there. The problem was you could never fully kill the moon during the phase unless you used a weapon with a special attack that hit multiple times.
Right. And
right? There was some really specific
like that's not
weapons.
Immediately clear that doing something like that would enable that, but obviously it was found out shortly after and now you know we see that it's just been enabled for everybody.
And now basically just said, you know what, screw it. Instead of fixing that, we're just going to let everybody kill.
Yeah.
where they want. So, you know, that's the kind
of
stuff.
Did you have a chance to look
good.
Into what these special attacks were that would have done that?
I think it was...
Would that be like Dragon Claws or something?
Hmm?
Would that be like Dragon Claws or something? That hit
no,
multiple? No,
I think it was very specific. Yeah, I would need to have to look at the wiki, like the history of the wiki. Crystal Halberd worked.
Ah, okay. Okay, that makes sense. Fair enough. Also, and just while we're on the moons before we go on to Hunter, Ring of Recoils now correctly lose charges when you're fighting there.
Ah! that's an important one to fix.
I don't know who's using those there, but I guess that's okay. I just wanted to mention that one because I was like, oh, someone tried that and discovered that Rings of Recoil were infinite at the moons. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. No, I think overall, you know, great stuff. It's interesting that they added the stab to the dual Makaras. Makwahutu. There you go. That they added like a stab option, but I think it makes sense. Makes those a little bit more useful. Especially with the defense changes that are coming, you know, it's good to have items have multiple options. That's definitely one of the downsides, I feel, of the whip. It only has slash attacks, and you know, it's interesting that they didn't want the Makaras whatever to sit in that same space, except for with Crush.
Yeah, and I mean, it's about giving choice, and you know, do you want to go all in and have the best performance, or maybe you just want to, you know, be on the getting close to the right side of the combat triangle and landing in such a way that it works. But there's also some interesting changes with the falconry setup with this, in that you can now cover all your falconry hunting with a one-time fee. And because of this, I feel like this is a substantial quality of life change to the way falconry works, which had always been kind of in a weird spot when it came to Hunter.
Yeah, and this is the interesting thing, right? That something like the Hunter Guild and Valamore is always going to
it shines a spotlight on the issues the skill has.
Exactly, like it puts people into that content, and you know, they said from the get-go, because a lot of people complain about Hunter rumors because Hunter is bad, like it needs a little bit of love, let's be honest, and these are the first steps, and I think we'll see more of them. In a sense, it would have been nice if they had identified these as part of the Valamore launch and released them as a package, but you know, that's not always.
But you're not gonna. But you're not gonna discover that until you get, you know, the people running through this content.
Yeah,
it's decades old at this point.
It's also Valamore was one of the biggest launches they've ever done, right? Like so the scope was already so big. Do you really need to also add, you know, fixing ages old content to it? Because I can see why that falls outside of the responsibility of the team that worked on Hunter specifically.
But speaking specifically in terms of Valamore Hunter updates, they also changed the way rumors work so that you'll go a little less dry on the drops for many of the rumor creatures, which thank you.
That's nice, right? Like I think I understand why I went with the randomness. I appreciate it's not like Slayer where it's like literally just kill X of that monster.
Right, because you wouldn't want to be told to kill X steel dragons and that X turns out to be somewhere between 90 and 200, right?
Yeah, I think it's interesting where that the Hunter rumors are not one-on-one Slayer tasks. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
right?
Because they could have easily done that.
Yeah, you can't make it like farming contracts either, where you need to just grab one. So I think it's good. But adding a little bit of predictability so that at least you know how long you're in for doing a single rumor is good.
Yeah, that was my biggest complaint. They also, in general, updated things related to our favorite salamanders. Irritar range strength bonus increased to 60. Again, like you said, this isn't something that was initially planned with this. It's just upgrading everything associated around Hunter, which I think is a good thing because many people, you know, think of salamanders, but nobody actually uses them for day-to-day, and it just the fact these are being thought of now is interesting. I don't think it's going to change anything, but it's still
an
example of shining that light.
It's a piece of content. Like, who uses salamanders and Taurus? Not a lot of people, I think, but...
We use them in Fresh Start.
Yeah. It's good that these things come sort of back into use and the spotlight. And yeah.
Yeah. And finally, from our favorite quest last week, for those undertaking a Riveting Tale, you can no longer escape a certain villainous frog's wrath by walking away. The Furious Frog will now continue to aggro when you come back into range.
Good. No escaping from that super hard boss.
No. No. Oh, God, that was hilarious. Anyways, listen to last week's show, folks. But we talked...
Yeah, next...
Yeah, you talked about the moons and defense, and that was also, I think, the biggest thing this week for me was the defense changes that came with Project Rebalance Part 1 focusing on NPC defense here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing that we have to really, you know, just hone in on this first is what their main goal of this is that, and this is the, I think, the really big thing and what puts old school combat in a really interesting spot at this point in time, because, you know, there was once upon a time a series of JMOD devs who thought they needed to upend the combat system to, you know, make things interesting. But the goals here are to provide further levels to aid in future balancing, allowing for them to meaningfully expand on reward space in future updates. I absolutely love hearing that. They also want to encourage players to bring more specialized weapons and styles for certain NPCs and to give elemental spells their own defined use case across existing content. They also say that with this, they're going to be implementing elemental weaknesses, supplementing elemental weaknesses with elemental spell scaling, which is really good because when you think of it, the example they give is that your wind spells are always going to be weaker than your fire spells, but they're the same tier. So after you unlock the fire one, the wind one is going to scale up. Exaggerate existing weaknesses and implement new split ranged weaknesses on this. So out of everything here, which one's the most interesting to you?
I mean, I feel so the whole elemental spell scaling feels. I mean, I love the idea of them basically making air the typeless magic spell, right? So
yeah.
like to me, that's an interesting trade off. It's always going to be decent, but it's going to be cheaper. That being said, the cost of runes is so insignificant. Like, I'm not sure if that's, you know, if it's going to be a big deal. Like, I think air spells will very much not become a thing in this new system.
No,
that would be my worry. Like, sure, you might want to invest. Like, it's nice that you can just bring a stack of like mind or chaos or death runes and an air staff and be done with it. Especially as an Iron Man. But for main accounts, you're going to just do a once upfront investment in a smoke staff or a dust staff, and that's it, right? Like, you don't need to bring extra runes. So I don't know. Like, if they had really wanted to avoid that problem of wind runes or air runes being required for the other spells, it's just remove that cost, right? You could just say that going forward, the cost of a fire strike is just fire runes. And
you went exactly where I wanted to go. I would have liked to have seen that incorporated into this.
Yeah, so and then there's the whole spell scaling as well, right? Where you unlock the spells and like unlocking a new spell makes like the previous ones better. And like to me, it feels overly complicated. Right? Like why at that point not just unlock an entire tier of...
So what you're saying then is rather than doing that, just move all, you know, make it so that you unlock all the... all the bolts, all the bursts, and all the surges at the same, yeah, at the same
like,
level.
It's not like the like magic level up table really needs fleshing out. Right? You already unlock something every level anyway. And you could still then unlock improvements right to your bolt spells where you do them now, but put them in the level up guide as, you know, damage increases. I think that would make it a lot easier to understand than the system they've gone with, because I don't know. It feels bit convoluted.
You're going to need one of two things to make sense of this whenever you go do Slayer. You're either going to need to go look up your Slayer creature on the wiki and see what it's weak to, whether you're using magic ranged or melee after this, or they're going to have to tell you in-game somehow. And then you're going to need to, you know, recalibrate your gear based on that rather than just, you know, choosing your weapon type.
That's a whole separate... Like, I don't mind that, like, the weaknesses. I'm just... I find... To me, the problem is how convoluted the whole, like, your max damage increasing based on the highest spell of the same tier you've unlocked. Like, what is going on there? Like, how are you going to convey that to a player who doesn't know the ins and outs of the system? Because this is relevant from level one magic.
Well,
like, that to me, like, the whole elemental spell scaling needs to be like that. That's something I would like to see changed.
Okay. Because I was going to ask, is it clear right now how damage scales? Right?
No, well, each spell just has its own max attack and it doesn't change, right? Not saying it's clear, but it's not as bad as what they're proposing here, is what I'm trying to say.
All right, that's fair. And hopefully that comes through on some of the changes with this. I think the thing that really stood out to me was twofold. First, it was the fact that you can actually, with the system in place here, there's room, you know, when it comes to the defense side and even the weaponry side now, there's room to create, you know, a handful of new weapons and armor types that really lean into these new weaknesses and strengths. And I guess on the same page from what you were saying, is that a good thing to have, you know, things be so specialized rather than generalized in that in terms of weapons? Because, I mean, obviously, if you're in the right combat style on that part of the combat triangle, you're going to find success, but you're going to find more success if you really lean into that. And I mean, I guess it's not going to really matter that much if you're doing base Slayer, but if you're going to bosses, I guess you're really going to want to do that. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the sense I get.
I it's something I look at already when I do a Slayer task, so I think it's not a bad thing that they're doing this. One of the things that I find interesting is if you think about the ranged one, right? Like ranged defense is like basically carbon copy of melee.
Yeah.
Whereas magic uses a completely different system,
mm-hmm.
which I find somewhat unfortunate. Like, I would have liked, like, either make all of them be the same or make all of them slightly different, but having two the same and one different feels a little bit funky. That's like a small gripe with the system, but...
Yeah, that's fair.
Also, I don't see bolts as heavy, but I understand.
It's necessary to suspend disbelief sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is all on the beta server right now, I will say, on here. And I think the most striking thing to me is they give an example here of an adamant dragon utilizing its new earth weakness. Previous max hit of that used to be 20. With the rebalance, it goes up to 28.
Yeah.
So that's how this lean is going to have an impact on all this. And, you know, again, I think I want to stress with this that this is all subject to change. These are in their posts, and I don't know. Do we know if they're going to be polling this project rebalance stuff, or if it's just going in because it's deemed quality of life like that?
That's a good question. I do not dare give an answer.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know where people would land on that poll, given that either.
Yeah, I am not sure. I mean, going back to the original reason why they're doing this, I think they got the reasons right, right? Like, I don't.
Oh yeah,
think
absolutely.
They're not trying to quote unquote fix the combat system.
They're not trying to ERCS.
Yeah, exactly. Like, look, if you're listening and you're like, why should I like this? And you don't want to worry about other details, I can make the choice really easy for you, right? It's either this or power creep. Because we're getting to the point where, like, even the rewards from Moons of Peril is pretty niche, right? Like, it's not necessarily gear that you will use as general use,
right? And,
because
and
that's been covered.
And that's the thing I've noticed since I've been on Old School is that most of the gear that's been released has been niche. It hasn't been, oh, here's a new, you know, tier 80 set
of weapons.
I mean,
there's Torva that's out there, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, beyond that, it's nothing. And I think once we start going beyond tier 80, things will go, you know, that's when you get into some of the problems that RS3 is running into.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, and that's what I was going to say is that they did that there. Obviously, you know, life point numbers and stats associated with that are scaled. I think it's
by a
thousand or
there's
a
reason that there's no active PvP community in RS3. Like, I hate to say it, but and if you want that to remain part of Old School, you need to keep that in mind too. So, like I say, it's either this or power creep, and I think making the space to allow for more horizontal content is absolutely the way to go. I am not convinced that this is the right iteration, like the right version, but it's only the first iteration. Like I said, the elemental spell scaling is oddly convoluted. I think they need to be a little bit more daring to make larger changes there, with either, like, ideally unlocking all of the spells at the same tier, right? Like, to me, that even sounds pretty cool, right? Like, if you think about it, unlocking 40 defense or 40 attack so you can wear a rune is a milestone, right? It's a huge milestone level.
Whereas you hit level 75 and you unlock, you know, the new rung of magic spells, that's another big one.
Exactly. Right now, magic lacks this, right? Like, it never feels like you're moving up a particular tier of magic spells. That's not how magic works, right?
Yeah.
And I think it would actually add something to the skill if, you know, level one is when you unlock strikes. When would you unlock bolts? Let's see. So that would be level 17, and
rounded
then,
up to 20.
Level 41 for blasts.
40.
You know, like 41.
No, I'm just saying round it to 20.
Round
the
other
to
40,
one
to 40 if you want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could even move the bolts to 20, put the blasts at 40 to rant them, and then, you know, the waves start at 62, round those to 60, and then you have
I think the surge starts at 75, right?
The wind surge starts at 81, so around to 80, and now you have like 1, 20, 40, 60, and 80, and you have like these big milestones. And then in between, you just space out those max damage increases, so you still get something out of... Sounds great to me, if you ask me.
Yeah, and you got to wonder why they didn't go with that, because honestly, that sounds a bit simpler, and you pair that with, you know, removing the air spell requirements for fire, earth, and water, then you got an interesting thing.
It's a larger change, and I get that they're trying to get away with the minimum necessary, but, you know, while you're there, might as well touch it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I also have to ask with this week, have you been practicing any magic? Have you been practicing any fine combat arts since we might have unlocked something related to, I don't know, a different class of spells? Because I was just thinking, where are the ancients going to fall into your new regime, Sirion?
Yeah, I mean, we did do Desert Treasure like a few weeks ago. It was in the middle of the Vardamel launch, so we didn't really get around to covering.
Yeah.
It's a pretty epic quest.
But it's necessary to mention, of course, that when it comes to what we've been doing, because that is a huge milestone.
Yeah, it is. And what I really like about this and is that it doesn't touch on ancients. And I mean, in a sense, you could say, like, ice spells are clearly water spells, and blood spells are clearly fire spells, right? But they're not going to achieve the same effect from the elemental weakness, which makes the basic spellbook more relevant again. Love it, right? Like, that's what we were talking about the prayers for all this time, where we wanted to make sure that we don't make all of the existing content obsolete, and, you know, the base spellbook spells, like combat spells, were pretty obsolete. So
yeah, I'm wondering if that's not why Ruinous Powers failed, but
But yeah, no, you know, I think it's a huge milestone for us as well. Now have multi, like, area of effect spells is going to make a big change to, you know, both mage magic training as well as
defense.
Slayer, I wanted to say, actually.
Okay. I was going to ask about icing something for defense.
Yeah, you could do it. I think it's not going to be super efficient, though.
No, probably not. But... any combat ventures outside of... have you got around to testing them, or were you on something else?
No, I haven't. Honestly, I've been trying to tell myself that I should really be training combat to Slayer only, but I sort of got myself in a trap there, and while I still believe that is the right thing to do, I was so close to hitting a few huge milestones that I sort of followed your inspiration and went and camped for many hours at the crabs.
Back to the crabs again.
Back to the crabs. And oh my goodness, I would pay good money for instance crabs. My god.
Don't give them any ideas.
But finding a world, like having to hop like 50 worlds until you find a spot, and even then having to deal with herbivore hunters messing up and aggroing your crabs.
We need a bit of a backstory on this. So we have a friend, Earth, who will be on the podcast at some point in the future, I'm sure, has been around the community for many, many years, many moons. He got the idea that he wanted guffins. And he's like, oh my god, it's only, you know, 900k for a set of guffins armor.
That I knew. Yeah, that I knew.
Right, and I didn't until he mentioned that. So I'm like, oh, I'm 61 defense. It's Easter long weekend. I spent about 9-10 hours at the Crabs over 2 days there, going from 61 to 70.
Yep.
And you did that too, right after me.
I followed suit. I hated every second of it. Well, no, that's not true. But like, I didn't want to do it, but I ended up doing it.
It's the kind of training I enjoy, the kind of like long grinds like that where you can just cruise.
It's true. It's AFK. It's very AFKable. It's very nice. I didn't mind it so much. And then I decided to switch out my melee armor for ranged armor and decided to hit ranged as well. So I got 70 range. Well, 71 actually.
What did you do? Arrows, knives, bolts?
Arrows. Just using my magic short bow with rune arrows.
Okay.
I'm going to push that to 75. But like we're getting to the point, like 70 attack, of course, had that for a while, 70 defense, 70 range, 70 magic as well. Just like a week ago, I think I got that by Owl King. I realized I needed some gear upgrades. So, you know, I got Arims, I got Guffins, I got Blessed Dragonhide, I got a bunch of rings. And this is what I was saying, that my wallet is crying because I spend so much money on basically upgrading every single, you know.
And the arms was the most expensive of the bunch, wasn't it?
Hmm?
Arms was the most expensive of the bunch?
Arms was quite expensive, yes. Though fairly quickly followed by the Archer's Ring as well.
You went down that path. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I got the Archer's Ring as well. Berserker Ring, I haven't yet, but soon.
Nice.
So yeah, I did Mage Arena as well. One, I need to do Mage Arena 2, but for that you need 75 magic for the imbued God Cape. But like, so basically, I'm getting to the point.
It's been a story of gear upgrades then for you.
It has been, and I'm surprised how close I was to all of these, because like the gear I am wearing right now, I'm going to be stuck with for a long time, right? Like the
right,
next
because
gear
the,
up, we're talking, cause
like the next step up is probably God Wars, right?
Exactly. Like we're talking easily like 100 mil worth of gear that we need to invest in, and even then, you know, the upgrades start at least for the content we're doing. Right, like I'm at the point where I think it's pretty reasonable that I can do maybe not Desert Treasure 2, but all of the quest bosses with the gear I have unlocked right now. Like the big thing that is missing is the fire cape, and once I get 75 range and the toxic blowpipe, that's like gonna be the next goal.
Yeah.
And I think at that point,
and to be fair, the fire cape's biggest roadblock is going to be making sure you don't use too much food before the Jad phase, because you got to reserve that for the prayer points there. But you know, there's discussions that can happen in relation to how long you can keep your prayer going. With that,
I'm not worried. I did the math. I'm not worried. but it's. So that's it. And like to me, that's pretty exciting. I think, you know, when you talk to people and read advice online, there's always this discussion about gear upgrades and how important it is. But I think we also underestimate how important the actual levels are, right? Like,
and I think the reason people look over the levels is because it's like, oh yeah, just go get it.
Yeah, but also like, yeah. But like at the same time, like yeah, you need to put it in context, right? Like the Berserker Ring, for example, that's +4 strength, which is not bad, right? Like it's a good chunk of bonus. But at least right now, we're still at the point where getting 4 strength levels is also not really out of the question.
Yeah.
Right? And that applies even if you're not wearing that particular ring. So,
and there's also the fact that all these things stack up and become meaningful with that.
Exactly. So I'm sort of thinking that at this point, I'm getting to the point where this is about what I want to spend on my gear, like all the stuff above. I think the return on investment is much lower. At that point, you really need to start doing some serious PVM to make the time that it takes to earn the money worth it.
Yeah, I can see
and
that,
that
I think.
it makes me feel good as well, though, right? Like it makes me feel that I'm good. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to keep checking what are my gear options.
And I also want to say with that getting to that point is something that encouraged me to get 70 defense, because I feel one of the obstacles for me in terms of training Slayer, despite, really not liking the skill, was that I just want to be able to get to a point where for most Slayer creatures, where I can look at them and have them die, and maybe have a little bit of
Yeah.
self-sustainability with that. And if I can do something that's going to get me there, I'd rather do that first than going to, ram my head through the Slayer door without that.
Yeah. No, fair. Absolutely fair. I don't mind so much. I mean, in general, I'm feeling like I'm getting to the point where, I mean, there's no absolute definition for what is mid game and what is late game, but
So when
looking
are we going to go
back,
fight the Dagonoth Kings?
no, but like the gear I'm wearing right now to me sort of is introducing, it's definitely late mid game that we're
Yes,
talking
I
right
would
now,
call
like.
that, and we've had these discussions before where that's a very interesting part of the game, and it's also a part of the game where you finally get to the point where, with some smarts about you, you can make that work for a large majority of the content in game. And
Yeah,
that's why it
exactly.
feels so empowering with that.
Yeah. And
So.
but yeah, overall it really surprised me that oh, I now have all this gear. I thought I would never get here, right? Or it would take me much longer to get here. So it feels good being in this particular spot. I mean, I showed you a screenshot earlier of like there's like the quest point cape, like level requirements, and like most of my skills are green on that list right now, which yeah, like things are heating up at this point, and it's only motivating me more to do more. Like I'm super excited about all of this, so that's been me, honestly.
That's good. And on that same thing, I know exactly where that screenshot came from of the quest point cape required levels. And I'm gonna probably start targeting for one or two of the quests that we have on our radar soon, TM, regarding that, because what I've been doing up to this point is I've effectively just been choosing randomly off that list, which maybe isn't necessarily the smartest thing to do. And that randomness this week sent me to construction because that was only level 41. So I got to level 50 with that, with some Mahogany Homes contracts. I feel like we've talked about Mahogany Homes before on the show, maybe very early
Oh
on
yeah, I've been doing
in the
I've done them a
days.
bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think
I
they're the
like them.
best way to go? Or,
Yeah. I mean
okay.
they're so much cheaper, right? Like if you look at the GP per XP rates, it's like a factor 4 or even 8 cheaper than doing
Right,
Pioneer
and if you're
Table.
just doing construction for the levels and to hit
Yeah.
that mark, you don't necessarily want to break the bank on that. So,
That's been my reasoning. I and of course you can unlock like the construction outfit through it with the points, so that helps a little bit. I am secretly eyeing the Ossidius house theme. That's the reward from it. It's like it's super expensive, but oh boy, does it look pretty. So I have multiple reasons to keep doing Mahogany Homes.
Yeah, and with that, I think it's also kind of as close as you can get to what the original version for carpentry was back, dare I say it, in RuneScape Classic, where the idea was is that you'd build a house in one of the hub cities, which of course is where Mahogany Homes takes place, whereas with this, of course, you're building furniture there. So it was a nice change of pace. I don't necessarily know as though I'd want to do too much of it back to back, because kind of, I guess, the opposite of you. I like the long grinds where I can kind of just lean into them and have something where I don't necessarily need to be as active as I am with Mahogany Homes. And I think, if anything, that would be my one complaint with it. But I understand that you know, there are benefits and shortfalls to various training methods.
It's not that I hate those long grinds, right? It's just specifically crabs. Like, if I could just show up to a spot and train there, great. The thing is, when I'm in, I need to stay there for as long as I can, because if I log out for even like a few minutes, my spot's gonna be gone, and I need to spend like another.
Right, that gets back to your initial call for instancing at crabs earlier this week.
Exactly, right? Like, if that was not as big of an issue, I would not mind that grind about, because I could do it in smaller increments. I could do it for like an hour. Now, if I do it, I always feel I need to do it for like an entire evening just to be worth it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. But in addition to the construction and the combat I mentioned, I think the other thing that I will always like to come back to on the show, and that we've been following this, interestingly enough, through, you know, the lead up to Varlamor and after Varlamor, is that Herb Index. What do you think was happening with that? Because it got to a point where Herb runs decreased in profitability, but now we're back up to a point where an Evanto or Cadentine run is approaching 190k plus profit per.
Yeah, it's a funny one. It's a funny one.
You think that was, you know, PVM fatigue from leagues, and then it wore off a bit?
That's been my suspicion. You know, like, I think a lot of people sort of burned out after leagues. That's at least anecdotally what I've seen. I haven't looked at the actual statistics. So I think a lot of people sort of burned out, and we saw definitely the players who sort of go hard anyway, right? Like, the people that always go for like high-end PVM and all that. And I think they might have taken a little bit of a break. And especially like raids, print, herbs. So that probably, you know, lower supply, whereas the casual players continue playing and demanding herbs. So that's my suspicion. But, you know, markets are complicated. There could be all kinds of effects stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, like, my first thing was, is there something coming in Varlamor that was gonna impact herbs on that? And, you know, there was no major herb droppers.
Wasn't it, you mentioned like Aventos being part of the hunter, like an ingredient for the
hunter? Yeah, the hunter potion is the main reason those have shot up. And interestingly enough, post Varlamor launch, Evanto is still sitting there, which I don't think people are making super attacks with it. So you kind of, you know, connect the dots on that and see that it's either the fishing potion, super energy potion, or hunter potion. Sorry, Irrit is super attack.
Yeah.
So, but that's been me. Always glad to get back to the green business. And
like, since we did Hand in the Sand and unlocked Ardoin Medium, I've been getting in like a really good rhythm of doing like four herb runs a day, because you get only three teleports on both the Explorer Swing and the Ardoin Cape. But like, I just make sure that, and I combine them with birdhouse runs, right?
Yeah, which you have so to. I
start my day. I make sure that when I log out at the end of the day, I am at the Falador farm. then I do an entire run, including like ending at birdhouses. I log out on Fossil Island. Then I do a run, and I make sure I end at Ardoin farm. Then when I log back in, and like, adding this all up, I get to use like all three charges of the two items, but I do four runs with them. Exactly. That's been lovely. And I've really gotten in a good pattern of doing that on mobile, and I got like figured out like the little trick.
See, you plan all that out. I just go randomly whatever order I feel like that day. The one consistency is that Trollheim and the new Varlamor patches are first because they're the longest runs.
Yeah, you should really go. Like, what I did is I got myself a enhanced whistle blueprint from like my first rumor. I got really lucky on that. And I kept that in my bank, and I decided to finish out the 10 rumors, unlock the whistle, upgrade it, and now it has like 20 charges, which is enough for like 5 days of verb runs before I need to recharge it. And it teleports you right outside the Hunter Guild, and from there it's a shorter run than the Actifier one, so it's honestly worth unlocking. Really worth unlocking.
I'm gonna have to do that, but I have some other stuff on my planning radar for this week, I think, with that. Yeah.
Because 10 rumors are really not that much.
No, it's not. It's not, especially now.
Done in like less than
See, I was
hours.
Doing it. I did my initial batch of rumors for Varlamor week when it was still broken. So that's why.
Yeah.
That's why I had was off put with that. But I got a list of things I'm gonna start doing on.
Okay.
On
Do you wanna tease some of that to our listeners?
It involves a skill that most people find useless.
Oh boy.
And
you're back to untrimmed 99 agility, are you not?
No. And it also and it also with that, after that is probably going to involve some jellies.
Jellies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, personally, I'm gonna try and actually spend like a session at the moons now that I have my gear upgrade. I think that should hopefully go a lot easier. So I want to basically dive in there and spend an hour there and see if I can, you know, get some nice drops from it.
You know, that reminds me, I have to actually go back there and check the chest, because I never checked the chest after I finished the quest.
So that's one of the things I want to do, my heart is a little bit broken, but if you look at my stat list and look at the skill right now that has the lowest XP, it's fire making, and it hurts. So I need to go and kill a little blizzard at the center of a room a few times.
Yeah, I'm glad I learned how to do that in leagues. It's going to be some good fire-making XP after.
Yeah.
We're done.
So I need to go back and do that as well. So that's going to be my next week.
Well, there's the preview of what we've been doing and the preview of what's to come, as well as a discussion
the
on
the Undead Pirates.
Moons.
That's also coming next week.
It is.
So, you know,
we're going to have to go into the wilderness for that.
If you feel in a particularly murderous mood, you could go PVMing, or PVPing.
You know, I like some PVP, but I don't know that I want to do it in RuneScape. fun fact, folks, back in the day on Star Trek Online, I used to run a PVP fleet. That was very notorious, let's just say. We'll leave it at that. But that's it for this episode of the Old School RuneScape Update. We'll be back next week for another one. Do remember to subscribe to the podcast if you want to get it automatically. We're on all the podcast listeners, Apple, Spotify, Pocket Casts, Google, RIP, amongst others. And, of course, YouTube as well at youtube.com/@OSRSupdate. Do leave us a like and subscribe there. It greatly helps the channel out. But with that being said, we'll be back next week for another episode of the Old School RuneScape Update. See you then, everyone. Take care.
Bye-bye.